This is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. When the U.S. Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade, the decision that previously found a constitutional right to an abortion across America, some Christians said it was a victory for religious freedom. Indeed, the anti-abortion movement has been largely a Christian movement in the U.S., and yet not all religious traditions view abortion the same way. In fact, many people of the Jewish faith said ending abortion rights is an affront to their religious freedom. Here's Julia Freeman of Urbana talking with our home station, Illinois Public Media, back in June. This was during a rally following the Supreme Court's decision.
To me, to be Jewish is to support choice. And so when there are laws that don't allow access to choice and abortion, that is restricting my religious freedom as well as my bodily autonomy as a person with a uterus.
To talk more about this idea, we're joined now by Rabbi Donya Ruttenberg. She's a resident of Chicago and scholar in residence at the National Council of Jewish Women. She's also served as a rabbi and educator at Tufts and Northwestern Universities, and she's an author. Her latest book is On Repentance and Repair, Making Amends in an Unapologetic World. Rabbi Ruttenberg, welcome to the 21st Show. Thank you for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
Also with us is Ariel Swernoff. She's an abortion rights advocate and a writer for Jewish Currents magazine. Ariel, welcome to you as well.
Thanks so much for having me.
And listeners, you can join our conversation if you have a question or comment you want to ask our guests. 800-222-9455 is the number. That's 800-222-9455. Or tweet us at 21st Show. So I want to begin with going back to earlier this year when the Supreme Court decision actually came down. Rabbi Ruttenberg, what went through your mind at that time, or even earlier when the leaked draft of the decision was out?
Oh, we knew. At National Council of Jewish Women, we were long aware that this is what the writing would be on the wall when Texas banned abortion a year ago, and the Supreme Court declined to block it not once, but three times, four times even maybe. It was absolutely clear what would be happening. And we in the repro space have been planning for this for decades and definitely for years. And this last year has been a time of planning in high gear to get the infrastructure in place for a life without Roe.
Ariel, same question to you. What was your reaction? Is this something you had seen coming, you think?
Yeah, I believe so. You know, this has been the Dobbs decision is the result of a decades-long campaign by the right to overturn the right to abortion, but also other rights related to body autonomy and personal freedoms. States have been introducing more and more restrictions on abortion since we had that major flip of state legislatures in 2010. And it's only increased over time, over the past decade. And again, it's a multi-decades long project of the right. So, you know, obviously I was very upset. Even if we saw it coming, it doesn't mean that it's not horrible. It doesn't mean that people are not going to be and are not, like, doesn't mean that people aren't really drastically impacted by this decision, but it was something, as the rabbi said, that folks in the repro space did see coming and have been preparing for.
All right, Rabbi, let me ask you then, so this is the reason we're having this conversation is, I think to the extent that people do think about abortion and religion, the many Christian groups that oppose abortion rights often come to mind. But as I said, can you talk about the alignment of abortion access, abortion rights, and the Jewish faith tradition?
Jewish law not only permits abortion, but it requires abortion when the life and or health of the pregnant person is at stake, because we prioritize the life and safety of the pregnant person, and that health includes mental health and emotional health. So for us, abortion is a necessary good. It is part of what is needed in a functional and just society. So for us, banning abortion is not only a violation of the 14th Amendment, as it is for everyone, but it's a violation of the First Amendment on two different grounds. It's a violation of free exercise clause because it bans Jewish access to abortion care when our religious tradition says that it is not only permitted, but sometimes required. So there are cases when we should be permitted to have an abortion when we cannot access care. And there are cases when it says that we would be required to have an abortion, but the state would bar us from doing so. So that's free exercise. And it's the violation of the Establishment Clause because we are enshrining one theological position as policy that affects atheists and Buddhists and Hindus and Jews and Muslims and all sorts of other people of different theological positions. And that is not how our country should be run, and that's not what the founders intended.
And I want to get into the idea that there may be some lawsuits to follow out of this idea, but what is the source of the teaching or the requirement as you've described? Is this biblical? Is it traditional? How do you describe that?
So in the Bible, in the book of Exodus, there's a case in which a pregnant person is knocked over. And it says very clearly, if she only has a miscarriage, then you pay damages. And if she dies, then it's treated as manslaughter. So the death of a fetus is not treated as manslaughter, right? And there's a whole complicated story about a mistranslation into Greek that has whole theological implications up and down history. But for us, the death of a fetus is not manslaughter. And then there are later rabbinic teachings that say very clearly, if even in the process of labor, if a pregnant person's life is in danger, then abortion is permitted in order to save her as long as the fetus's head has not emerged, because that's for us the moment when that life is coming into the world, that first breath. And then there are later rabbinic commentaries that say, okay, well, if abortion is permitted, even in this, you know, sort of very, very late extreme stage to save someone's life, then how much more so later on? Because the Talmud says the fetus is part of the pregnant person's body. So, you know, this is a limb of the pregnant person, and it is for them to decide what to do with their body.
Fascinating. This is what I love about public media, is that it gives you time to get into some of these nuances and the history here. Let me take a moment to remind our listeners, this is the 21st show. I'm Brian Mackey. We're speaking about the Jewish faith tradition that actually says abortion access is a part of religious liberty. It is fundamental to their ideas of religious freedom. We're speaking about that with Rabbi Danya Ruttenberg, who is scholar in residence at the National Council of Jewish Women. Also, Ariel Swernoff, who's an abortion rights advocate and a writer for Jewish Currents magazine. And Ariel, let me ask you, we reported, Illinois Public Media, our home station, reported on Rabbi Daniel Bogard in St. Louis, who said, "I'm confident there will be a wave of religious liberty lawsuits across the country from Jews." That's a quote. Do you see this coming in red states?
I'm not an attorney, so I can't speak to that specifically. But as the rabbi said, it is a violation of Jewish religious freedom to restrict abortion access. And I do know that there are already lawsuits, I believe, coming out of a synagogue in Florida on this law. So it is definitely a strategy that we can see coming. I think this legal work is incredibly important, and it's absolutely correct that abortion bans, abortion restrictions are a violation of religious freedom in the United States. I think it's also true that the path forward is gonna involve not just lawsuits, but a lot of grassroots organizing, a lot of power building, and a lot of networks of people helping each other get the care that they need. So while I do see potential for lawsuits from Jewish communities, and I think it's a great thing for Jewish communities to do, I think that's also can't be relied on as the path forward to ensure that abortion access is available to everyone and that our rights are available to us.
Arielle, back in 2020, you wrote an article in Jewish Currents magazine titled How to Give Yourself an Abortion with Pills. I'm wondering what prompted that article at that time, and what was the response from in the readership of that?
Absolutely. I wrote that article, you know, because it's information that people need. And because it's also, I think, really important that people know that abortion is not something that is granted to us by institutions, by patriarchal institutions. It's something that people have always done. The oldest written record of abortion is from 1800 BCE in an Egyptian medical papyrus. It's as old as human beings. In terms of abortion with pills, many people around the world and in the United States self-manage abortions with pills, that the same pills that one might be prescribed at the doctor's office or at a clinic, if that's a route that's available to somebody. It's extremely safe. It's extremely effective. And as we see restrictions grow across the country, it's an option that many people, many, many more people are going to be choosing. So I wanted to write it because, you know, we've seen growing restrictions on abortion year after year after year. More and more people live in places that are far from a clinic, live in states where abortion is now illegal. And it's, you know, important that people know that abortion pills are available in all 50 states. They're highly safe and effective. You know, the right to control your body, the right to control your pregnancy is a fundamental human right. It's a fundamental religious right. And people should have the information and be empowered to exercise that right.
What was the reaction like from within the readership? And then I also understand there were some negative reactions as well.
Certainly. There was, I would say, among the readership, a largely positive reaction to the article. I think it is really in line with the values of Jewish Currents and with the sort of the Jewish community that the magazine is a part of, to share information like this in the pursuit of social justice. So there was a largely positive reaction from the readers. Obviously, it did sort of make it beyond Jewish Currents magazine's regular readership. And we did have some negative feedback and some specifically anti-Semitic negative feedback. And you know, myself and my editors experienced some harassment as a result of that.
Sorry to hear that.
Yeah. As I'm sure you might be familiar with as people who, you know, put things out into the world on the regular. But overall, I think, you know, outside of the sort of like right-wing ecosystem that got a hold of this, the reaction was quite positive.
Rabbi, we're almost out of time, so just in maybe a minute or so we have remaining. Can you just speak briefly as to why you think when people talk about abortion and religious freedom that the Jewish perspective has so often been left out of the conversation?
Because the Christian fundamentalists have dominated the conversation for decades, and Jewish voices aren't taken very seriously in the public square, honestly. But if you go to jewsforabortionaccess.org, you can find resources, you can find ways to donate to the Jewish Fund for Abortion Justice, which is a pass-through organization, a pass-through grant that can get money directly to those who need abortion care right now, both travel and abortion care. And you can learn a lot about what's happening both from a Jewish perspective and in terms of actions you can take today to be useful. JewsForAbortionAccess.org.
Rabbi Ruttenberg and Arielle Sornoff, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us today on the 21st show.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Rabbi Danya Ruttenberg is scholar in residence at the National Council of Jewish Women. Her latest book is On Repentance and Repair, Making Amends in an Unapologetic World. We've also been speaking with Arielle Sornoff, an abortion rights advocate and writer for Jewish Currents magazine. And that is all the time we have for our program today. The 21st Show is produced by Aidan Choate, Christine Hatfield, and Jose Zepeda. Our interns are Anaya Jones and Zainab Qureshi. Technical direction and engineering comes from Jason Croft and Steve Mork. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. The 21st Show is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. I want to urge you to visit our website, 21stshow.org. You can find our conversation with the governor there. The audio will be posted shortly. A transcript will be coming later today. You can share that widely if you found value in that. Again, this is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. Thanks for listening. We'll talk with you again tomorrow.